Woohoo! It's outside the box. Wondering what to do with all my stuff. Today's topic is things. I've worn the same shirts and pants for the last few years, in some cases for the last 15 to 20 years. One shirt I got when I was just graduating from high school, and that's a long, long time ago. I'm not saying this to boast or to suggest my duds are the height of fashion, 'cause they're not, or that they're long-lasting, 'cause I do wear things out. Just about every stitch of clothing I have, I got from a thrift store for a few bucks or less. A few are hand-me-downs that someone else didn't want. I even found a couple of T-shirts on the sidewalk that fit me. The point is, we all have too much stuff, myself included. Even if I get no more shirts or pants ever again, I probably won't wear out much of what I have before I die. I should give away some of what I don't need now. Do you have more than you really need? I find this number hard to believe, but online there are claims that every U.S. household has 300,000 items. Paper clips, rubber bands, sofas, doors, onions, plastic bags, refrigerators, envelopes, toothpicks, and on and on. But the same tally for European households is only 10,000 items. Still a lot, but a more believable number. Either way, where is all this stuff coming from, and how long will it last before we run out of metal for paper clips, steel and plastic for refrigerators, wood for toothpicks, and the natural resources we need for automobiles, computers, solar panels, and whatever else we can't live without? Our planet has only so much to give in our quest for everything we could ever need or want. We're a consumer society, and we've been consuming way too much, according to author Frank Trentman in the book The Empire of Things. This book is mostly a history of consumerism from the 1500s to 2015. Trentman goes all out, 700 pages, plus another 100 pages of notes, to describe how relatively simple our so-called needs were 500 years ago, and how complex they have become today. If a household has 10,000 items today, it might have had 500 to 1,000 or less 5 centuries ago. Trentman's last chapter is about waste, recycling, repurposing, and efficiencies that produce more with less. For example, governments could establish a policy to either make recycled products less costly or non-recycled more expensive. More drink containers could be returnable and or at a higher price, so fewer would wind up on the roadsides. We can anticipate product shortages and raise prices before resources become scarce, especially on items that may not be considered real basic needs, like fancy fashions, outdoor grills, and cheap airline flights. These are ways governments can help consumers maintain supplies of the products they need. That could encourage personal change, a habit we should all develop. The author asks if, quote, we should also think about the consumption side and how changes to lifestyle could lower the demand for products and resources in the first place, end quote. If I'm done using a clothing item, for example, I should at least bring it to a thrift store so someone else can wear it, or repair an item and keep on wearing or using it. A funky but usable clothing item might be the next fashion statement, like mismatched socks or jeans with torn pant legs. But Trentman doesn't mention claims on an estimated 90 corporations that are supposedly responsible for the vast majority, three-fourths, of the carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases released into the atmosphere. We need to change our consumer selves, but we also need to change these companies so they stop killing the planet and endangering all of its inhabitants. How much of a consumer are you? What could you do to change these 90 mega-polluting companies? I'm Larry Danziger, trying to lighten my footprint on the planet.